What's up, whole world? Welcome to Storytime with Cedric, episode number 75. And in this episode, I'm coming to you live from Pine Top, Arizona. Why am I in Pine Top, Arizona, you might ask? I'm at the casino, losing money, but on a good note, I got a chance to kick it with the new old school fellas. And for those that don't know who they are, we're about to introduce you to them real quick. Got a chance to talk to a couple of members of the group. They stopped by, blessed the podcast with their presence, and we had a really good time making this podcast. And I know that you are going to enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoy making it. So that being said, let's knock out a commercial. Light them if you got them. Pour one up. Let's get comfy. And let's enjoy the show. Thanks. What's up, whole world? Welcome to Storytime with Cedric, episode number 75. In this episode, we got some special guests in the house tonight. From the group, the new old school fellas. What are you doing?
I'm just fanning my head.
Oh, shit.
All right. Sweating.
My bad. So, we got two members from the group, the new old school fellas. Go ahead and introduce yourself. In the house, we got...
Hey, this is Drum Master Jay Reed. But all my friends just call me Jay.
In the house, we got...
What's up? My name is Michael Lee Green, also known as Mike Green.
I want to thank you guys for coming and being a part of my podcast today. I really appreciate
for sure.
it.
My pleasure.
So, yeah, man, like I was saying before, man, the group is called the New Old School Fellas. I just came from a show. We at the casino. I'm in Arizona. I don't know the name of this casino. You understand
Honda.
This casino?
Honda.
The Honda Casino.
So not quite like the car, but kind of.
And
that was my first car, actually.
We on like an Indian reservation, right? We on an Indian reservation.
We like to use the term Native American reservation.
Yeah, Native American reservation. I just came from the show, and the show was awesome. You guys did a really, really good job. Drum Master Jay, of course, is on the drums. And my man, Michael Lee, is on what he was the lead singer.
A singer, yes.
And he was doing his thing. He was up there getting his Keith Sweat on. But it was a beautiful thing watching you guys do your thing. You guys were amazing. You guys were awesome. So I want to get to the origin of like how you guys... First of all, let's talk about the group. Because I got two members from the group here. How many total members are in the group?
13.
13.
At this... specific point in time.
13
Not all of them could come on this trip, but we have 13.
Right.
Soon to be about 15 and maybe even 16 mm-hmm. by the end of the year. We'll see, because we have some people, a gentleman out on medical leave, you could say.
Okay. Only 8 members came on this trip, though.
So it's 8 right, members, right. And a lot of the group is over the age of 60, so
right.
They're all asleep right now. We're doing this podcast at about 1:30 in the morning right now. So a lot of the group is asleep right now. I got the young guys up here doing the podcast with me. So once again, thank y'all for being up here and spending some time with me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
For sure.
So Michael, I want to touch base with you first. Tell me, where are you from, man? Where was you born? Where did you grow up? How did you find yourself a part of this group?
I was born in Ohio.
Wait a minute. What part?
I don't know if I can tell you, because if people know where my birthplace, my birth city, they can access my personal information or whatnot.
Okay, I understand. The reason I asked is because I'm from Ohio too.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off. My bad.
But no, that's all right. But I lived in Akron a little bit.
Okay.
My parents were from Youngstown.
Okay.
I have some family in Springfield, some family in Columbus, and just really all over the state. But I grew up in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Mm.
I'm an Army rat. Mm-hmm. Dad got stationed at Fort Carson, and once we got to Colorado Springs, we just stuck. That's mm-hmm. where we went to high school and everything like that, and just, yeah.
But, so you're
born in Ohio, grew up in Colorado.
So you're a military brat. That's what's up. I never went to Fort Carson, but those that are, military, they say Fort Carson is one of the Army's best-kept secrets. Because a lot of people don't want to go because it's Colorado. It's supposed to be so cold up there. But anybody that I know that have been stationed in Fort Carson,
mm-hmm.
I've never heard anything negative about it. So
Yeah, same here.
That's a good thing. And then also we got Drum Master Jay. Now, one thing about Drum Master Jay that I want to bring to everybody's attention. Drum Master Jay is my biological brother. He's 2 years younger than me.
For sure.
We are brothers. And I know his story. I know his origin. But I'm going to let him tell the whole world anyway. So, Drum Master Jay, go ahead and tell him. What's your origin? How did you get from where you was at to how did you get to the group? How did you get to the group?
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio. And, you know, I actually joined the Army when I was 18, which allowed me to travel around the world and meet all these awesome people. So when I got out of the Army, a person who I was serving with, one of my battle buddies, invited me to Washington State for a visit. She had just came back from Iraq. She stayed in, I got out. And when she got to Fort Lewis, which is in Washington State, she didn't know anyone. She didn't have any, you know, friends. So she just wanted me to come down. And so I did. And I ended up staying. And I've been there ever since.
Nice. I was stationed in Fort Lewis.
Oh, I remember that.
In 1999. I was up there for about a year.
Mm-hmm. But, I was there for about a year, actually. Also. Yeah.
Fort Lewis is awesome. It rains a lot up there. It rains. They say if you get depressed easy or if you're suicidal, don't go to Florida.
Stay away.
It's true.
And then you'll be depressed and make babies up there. So let's get to the group, man. So you're in Fort Lewis. You're in Tacoma, Washington. And the group originated in Washington State. So
right.
How did you get from being this Army vet to... Now, one thing about John... I'm sorry. One thing about Drum Master... Forgive me if I call him John.
Oh, did you put his government
my
name
out there? I didn't put your government shit out there, Lord. My bad. So one thing about Drum Master Jay is we grew up together. You know what I'm saying? And I've watched him evolve from, you know, being 7, 8, 9 years old and playing with pots and pans and plates and saucers in the dining room to his first drum set to, you know, evolving to, like, playing at the church. And getting really serious with his drum skills and upping his drum game. So I've watched him over the years. And so how did you, you know, once you get to Washington State, once you get to Tacoma, how did you, become a part of this group, the new old school fellas? How did it go down?
Okay, so when I got to Washington, I wanted to play drums. I wanted to join a band or something like that. So I actually went on Craigslist and I was searching for advertisements of people searching for drummers. I found the band. I also found the church that was looking to hire, musicians for their music ministry. So I started playing at the church where I met a man named Myron. He was the minister of music. And so ever since then, I've been playing with Myron. And Myron was also involved in other bands outside of the church. And so we had been playing together in this church for so long. And we actually got a good chemistry together. You know what I'm saying? We got to the point where we kind of could just look at each other and tell where the music was going. And we learned how to play really well with each other. Mm-hmm. And so Myron was also playing in local bands in the neighborhood outside of the church. And he would invite me to audition for some of these bands. And one band in particular was the New Old School Fellas. And they were searching for a drummer. They had one. But he wasn't quite up to par. So Myron invited me out, my church buddy, and I came to the audition, and, you know, the guys in the Old School Fellas at the time, it's called the Old School Fellas at first, they were all impressed with my playing, and they offered me a position.
Nice.
Thanks to Myron.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I've been there ever since, and that was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it's 2022 now, so that was like in 2019.
That's what's up. Congrats. And I pose the same question to you, Michael. Like, when you got to Washington State, mm-hmm. you know, how did you find this group, and how did you become a part of this group?
All right, so I moved around a little bit, you know, after college and everything, you know, no beef with mom and pop or anything like that. Just it was time to get out and do some of my own things. And so I lived in some other states besides Colorado, and eventually got to Washington State. And musically, at first, all I was really doing in Washington State was church choir. Was a part of a pretty big one, and got to do some things and, you know, sing at different churches in the Olympia and Tacoma and Seattle area, even into Canada. I think the church choir went to Canada like within the first year that I was a part of the choir, a part of that church. And, you know, fast forward to getting into the new old school fellas, I did end up in a band called the Gospel Echoes. Later on, kind of a gospel quartet band, through my connections with church. And one of the members of that band, a gentleman by the name of Ray Lewis, is not who you're thinking, not, you know, the motivation of Ray. Football player.
I'm thinking like, damn, Ray Lewis.
Not the one that pumps up the squad for the... The Ravens. No, we're not going to talk about the Ravens. I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Good shit. Me too.
Same. And praise the Lord, I actually went to the Super Bowl.
Me too. Same.
I went to the Super Bowl. I don't want to brag, but just, you know, my team went, mm-hmm. and it was just down in Los Angeles, and Washington State's not that far away, and, you know, I was watching that Chiefs game sweating.
Bruh.
That Kansas City Chiefs game, I was sweating because... You know, I was almost in a no-win situation, mm-hmm. because if my team loses, they lose. Mm-hmm. But I'm sweating like, man, what if the Cincinnati Bengals win this game? I got to figure out a way to get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's real. I was sweating the whole game. Whatever the outcome was, I was going to have a hard time, honestly. But
that was an awesome game.
But I was able to get there, you know, tax return. Whatever kind of pay for it, more or less, mostly, not quite, but
right.
So anyway, the gentleman's name is Raymond Lewis, okay. And I sang with him, and he's awesome man, awesome singer, and
agreed.
You know, during the time when, you know, I hate this word, but pandemic. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic was going on. The Gospel Echoes weren't doing a lot of things. Lots of musicians, lots of bands weren't doing a whole lot.
Right.
And. But Raymond came across the new old school fellas as people started to want to hear live music again, and those opportunities opened up. And through him, you know, remembering me, he got involved in the band maybe about the beginning of this year, mm-hmm. and down the line the new old school fellas discovered they had a need for an additional singer.
Okay.
And So Ray passed my name on to our manager, and the manager contacted me, and we talked about what the group was all about and the type of music that we did, and his faith in my ability to be part of the group and a positive, successful part of the group. Okay. And so we talked it out. I came to see the band perform at a casino in March. Loved what I heard. Mm-hmm. Loved the vibe, loved the musicianship, the sound, just everything, the song selection, and decided to be a part of it. So I had some other things going on, just personal things going on kind of in the month of April, mm-hmm. but I told them, you know, May 1st, I'm ready to go. I'll study the music a little bit in April. And so the first gig that I was able to do with the group was the end of May. At that same casino around Memorial Day, and it felt great. You know, I've not been a part of too many bands, mm-hmm. and so this was a great opportunity. Is a great opportunity, and felt really good.
So I got a question for you. How old are you? And I'm gonna tell you why I'm asking you this question. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm older than your brother.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
You're 44 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because for those that don't know, the new old school fellas, a lot of the music that they perform is a lot of music from the 90s, even the 70s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yes.
And it's, when I seen you on stage, you have an old soul when it comes to, like, I thought you were older.
Okay.
When I seen the way you presented yourself on stage, you're doing these songs from the 70s, you're doing songs from the Commodores and shit, and then all these old songs. But I'm sitting there talking to you like you're not an old, I ain't trying to talk bad about the group, but a lot of guys in the group are in their 50s or in their 60s, yes, or older. And when I was in my chair and I'm looking at you and the other gentleman on stage, I said, okay, he's probably about the same age. But now I'm sitting here talking to you like, he's not old like those guys.
Not quite.
But he's singing those songs.
I don't have quite that much wisdom yet.
But he's singing those songs just as well, just as good as your singing counterpart. And your singing counterpart, I don't know his name, but he's probably...
It was Ray.
That was Ray.
Yeah, he's the other vocalist that we were able to bring on this trip.
He's really good. But he's probably about, 50? I would say at least in his 50s.
He's in his 60s.
He's in his 60s. So when I seen you guys on stage next to each other, I just assumed you guys were the same age. But you're 20 years younger than Ray. But you're on stage doing your thing, doing the Gap Band and doing all these songs from the 70s.
Oh, yes, sir. I had all that music in my ear and influences going on in my household at an early age.
I was telling you when you came in here earlier, like when you did the Luther Vandross, the Never Too Much, I was like, y'all really did a good job on it. Like, that shit was good.
Oh, appreciate it.
That shit was good. And it sounded like, I've seen, like, bands that just sound like people doing karaoke. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord.
But you guys don't sound like that. You guys, like, you do the
That's
songs.
That's good to know.
You put your own spin on it. You know what I'm saying? And it sounds good.
Well, we practice every week. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been going on for months, years for me. Mm-hmm. We've been practicing before the pandemic even hit, so, you know, it's been a lot of repetition and, you know, a lot of early Saturday mornings into the late afternoons practicing that stuff. So, I mean, we really
work hard.
Know, we work hard on, you know, developing the craft and getting the music right and learning all the different parts and all that stuff.
So I got a question.
And we take it serious, you know what I'm saying?
I got a question for both of you guys. You as a drummer.
Yes.
And you as a singer. Who, as you were growing up, as you were younger, was there anybody that influenced you on the drum set? Was there any drummer that you said, I want to play drums like this guy or better than this guy? Is there anybody that influenced you?
Well, it's kind of funny you should ask, because many younger siblings probably can relate to this. If you have an older sibling, you know, a majority of the time, you find yourself interested in the same thing your big brother or your big sister is interested in.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So, I remember one time, I think I was in fourth grade, and I think you were in sixth grade. Mr. Jackson was the band director at the local school.
Miami Chapel.
You had to be in sixth grade to play drums. Mm-hmm. And my brother was in sixth grade.
That's me.
And he came home with some drumsticks and a drum pad. Now, before we get to that, let me first say this. My brother joined the wrestling team, so I joined the wrestling team.
Okay.
My brother...
City champ.
Undefeated
city champ, bitches. Sorry, my bad. Sorry, I throw that out there.
My brother went to the army, so I went to the army.
Honorable discharge.
Same.
Bitches.
My brother was also into gymnastics when we were young children. So myself began to learn how to tumble, you know, following after my older brother, of course.
You were better than me, though.
You know, and I'm going to get to that.
You were better than me.
So my brother comes home one day with some drumsticks and a drum pad, and that was the first time I was introduced to drums. So practically everything my brother was into, I also was into, because I thought my older brother was cool. And so you were the first person who introduced me to drums.
I appreciate
and
that.
Then so I was doing just primarily snare drum music and reading quarter notes and nine stroke rolls and all that. And then when I decided to level up, that's when I met a man at our church. He was a boy then, a young man named Brian Mitchell.
Shout out to Brian Mitchell.
Brian
Mitchell hit me up.
A
few weeks ago.
Oh, that's awesome. Tell him to call me.
He heard one of the podcasts. I did a podcast called, and we went to a church called St. John.
St. John. Oh.
Church. I did a podcast called An Ode to St. John. And we just went over just some of the memories and some of the good times.
That's my favorite episode, by the way.
And Brian heard it. I haven't talked to Brian in 20 years. And Brian got my phone number and called me. So shout out to Brian Mitchell for listening to the podcast. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So anyway, Brian's father, also named Brian Mitchell Sr., was the minister of music at our church, Greater St. John Missionary Baptist Church. And one glorious day, Brian Mitchell Jr. decided to bring his drum set to church to add to the music ministry. And I had already had a little experience playing on a single snare drum, following my brother, but I had never played on a full drum kit before. And Brian had a full drum kit. He brought it to St. John for the first time, I remember. And I used to go to... We used to go to church all the time, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We had like choir rehearsal on Thursdays. We had prayer meeting on Wednesdays. We had Bible study on Tuesdays.
Kind of churches.
Or something like that. So we really went to church like 4 or 5 or 6 days a week.
A lot.
And so on one of those days, they were finished doing all the Bible study or whatever. And the drums were sitting right there. And I asked Brian, can I try those? And he was like, yeah, come on. He gave me the sticks. And I'll be honest, I was awful.
No.
I was so bad at the full drum kit. Like, I can read quarter notes, and I could do, like, a little double stroke drum roll and stuff that my brother had taught me. But this whole full drum set was a little bit above my skill level.
I think I understand, because you give me two pencils
on
a table, I'm a beast.
But once you
ask me to use my foot,
right,
that's a little different, yeah.
And then, so I give Brian Mitchell credit, because he allowed me to practice and play every week, even though I was awful, and even though it would make the choir rehearsal sound terrible, he would still allow me to play every Thursday night. And eventually I started to get the hang of it. He would show me different tips and, stuff where it could make the rhythms easier to approach. And, I just played on his drum set wasn't the best, by the way. We called it a Fraggle Rock drum set. I don't know if you know what Fraggle Rock is.
The cartoon,
and then they were like a band, and the drummer, his drum set was made of all these different junk pieces. So that's how Brian's drum set was. It was made of all these junk pieces. But to me, it might as well have been a $10,000 drum set, because that was the first full drum set that I was able to play on. So he would just teach me and mentor me and guide me, and eventually I became good enough that he would allow me to play certain parts of the church service. So he would play all the songs, but the part where the preacher gets to getting all excited and then the organ comes in, and he would let me do that part, the whooping part. So every Sunday I was on post ready. I was just so excited and ready for when the preacher got to his part where he got the yelling and whooping and all that. And Brian would tell me to go on up there, man. And I would get up there and I would back the drummer up. I mean, I would back the preacher up and the organ player up. And, I did that for some years. And over the years, my skills improved.
That's awesome.
And thanks to Brian, that's my major influence in the real life.
Shit.
And in the world of entertainment, there is a man named Carter Buford who plays with this band called the Dave Matthews Band. And when we went to Virginia Beach with Marlon, okay, I'm from Dayton, Ohio, which is 90% black, where I'm from. My school was 90% black, and my neighborhood was 95% black. But when we moved to Virginia Beach, I met some cool white boys who were also in the school band, and one of the drummers were asking me, have I heard of Carter Buford, which was a drummer from the band Dave Matthews Band. And so I did a little research, and I went to the... We had, like, record stores back then, and I bought a little record player. That was before, you know, YouTube and all that.
Right.
So I actually bought a Dave Matthews Band cassette, and I had a Walkman, a cassette Walkman player.
Was it from Sam Goody, or...
It was from...
Tower Records?
I think it was from Tower Records. Okay. It was in Ohio. And... No, it wasn't. It was in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And it was that Tower Records downtown, I think. And I listened to this, and I was blown away by the drumming of this guy, Carter Buford. Mm-hmm. So I would listen to this tape every day for hours on end, dissecting and listening again and trying to figure out how he did that feel and how that rhythm was just so unconventional, because all I knew was church music at this time. And so I would say my three major influences were Cedric Reed, which is you.
I want 5% if you get rich.
Brian Mitchell, which was my first technical drum coach. And then Carter Buford was one of the first musicians that I heard, like, on a record that I could really kind of get into. So those are my three major influences.
That's awesome, man. And I got the same question for you, Michael. So Michael is Drum Master Jay, of course, is the drummer for the group. And then Michael is one of the lead singers. It was two lead singers. Michael is one of the lead singers. So you growing up, you know, who did, you know, you look up to as an influence as far as, you know, learning how to sing, and who did you look up to as a great singer to get your stuff polished?
First and foremost, New Edition.
Okay.
There was probably like a 5 or 10 year period that you couldn't tell me that I didn't sound like Ralph Tresvant. You could not tell me that I did not sound just like Ralph Tresvant. And but I also like Ricky Bell a lot too.
Okay.
And his sound. But New Edition and kind of some of the other groups that came out of that, the solo records and things, definitely influenced by Boyz II Men quite a bit.
Okay.
I was able to see them live. I saw them live.
How was that?
When I was
Boyz
a youngster.
How was that seeing them live?
It was the Colorado State Fair, and so that was back in the day when all four of them were living, and then was able to see them again many, many years later.
Okay.
When there was just three, because one had passed away. So I think that's the only group. I think
Boyz II Men.
Yes.
Nobody passed away from Boyz II
Men.
Yeah,
the bass, the singer,
the
same
group.
Bass. No, he died. He died though too.
No, he had scoliosis.
Michael died.
I heard that Michael
Sean.
Died.
He did not die.
Kanye. Nate.
Mike.
Michael died.
Michael was the guy with the bass.
That was
still
also
died.
My favorite singing group when I was younger.
He did not die. He had issues with his back. That's why he used to come on stage with a cane.
Okay.
And when he couldn't tour anymore with the group, that's why
the
group.
So you're saying that happened first, and then...
He's not dead. Right now. Look it up on your phone.
He
right
does
now.
Something.
He's not dead.
All right, we got to get some verification.
He's not dead. I also thought he had passed away.
Wiki, Google,
he's
somebody.
Not dead. Michael's not dead. He just couldn't...
Learn something new every day.
He couldn't...
If you're right.
He couldn't travel with the group because his back was giving him issues. That's what it was. That's awesome because Boyz II Men was top flight. Like, they was like the big time group back in the day.
Right, but the funny thing is, it's just I love that that music so much. Between, you know, me getting my own. Let's see.
Michael is reading the phone.
So he has the disease, but he didn't pass away.
He didn't die. He didn't die.
Well, ain't that something?
I was under the impression that he had passed away as well. So
no,
this is news to me.
Tupac died. Biggie died. Boys and Men didn't die.
Do y'all remember when Chris Tucker died?
Chris Tucker didn't die either.
I know, he didn't, but there was a rumor for a while that he had smoked so much that he passed away, that he like overdosed. That was a rumor for a short time.
There was rumors that Sinbad died, and like they always come up with that shit on the internet, different celebrities. I think Sinbad had a stroke, though, recently.
Oh, okay.
And he hasn't been... I don't know how bad it was, but he hasn't really been out since the stroke. But I'm in.
Well, thank you for enlightening me, Cedric.
Anytime, bro.
As well, because yes. I was under the same impression, to be honest.
He didn't die.
But anyway, so that's the only group I think I've seen twice. Okay. Boys II Men, way back in the day when they were definitely hot. Oh, yeah. They had all four members, and then recently, maybe about 10 years ago, where they just had three members. Mm-hmm. They performed with New Kids on the Block and 98 Degrees.
They had the Big Package Tour. I heard about that. They had the Big Package Tour.
That was like 2012.
And I saw that shit.
2013.
I said, probably. That's going to be corny. But it sold out everywhere.
Yes.
I'd just like to say this real quick.
What's up?
Nobody couldn't tell me that I didn't sound just like Wanye from Boyz II Men when I was younger, and I was really into singing. So I just wanted to put that out there.
I would have told you.
Yeah, man. But
Wanye, man, that was my inspiration.
But I love that music so much. I listen to all those groups, even the like C level, B level groups. Silk, Shy, Intro is like. You know, but they had a good album though. Yeah. But all those kind of groups.
Yeah.
What about those guys who sung Blackberry Molasses?
You talk about Blackberry Molasses. That was my shit. That was
Mister, I think.
Mister was the group. Oh, that was my shit. Blackberry Molasses was my shit. Wow. So okay, I got a question for you. Okay, so we about you, how old did you say you was?
44.
I'm 44 too. I'll be 45 in about 22 days.
And I'm 42.
You 40. So we all come. You know, we about the same age.
Yeah.
So. I never seen Boyz II Men in concert, but I did see Jodeci in concert.
Woo, boy, yes.
And let me tell you, bro, Jodeci, hey, I was at Hampton College. This is 1995.
You went to Hampton?
No, I was in Virginia Beach.
Oh, okay, got it.
So the concert was at the Hampton Coliseum.
Okay.
And this was 95. It was Idina Howard back when she was the shit, right? The Freak Like Me song was out. The Loonies was out with the Five on It song.
Classic.
Mary J. Blige. Craig Mack. Junior Mafia with Biggie Smalls.
Now, Craig Mack did pass away.
He did pass away. Junior Mafia, Biggie Smalls, Lil' Kim, all of them was there. Naughty by Nature. And Jodeci was there. And I remember when Jodeci was last. They was the headliner.
They were considered the headliner.
Right? So they come
That's
out.
That's appropriate.
I'm on the signal. Shout out to my old sister-in-law. She bought me tickets. I think it was my 15th or my 16th birthday. She got me tickets. And me and one of my best friends went. We had 6-row tickets to the concert. We right up front. And I remember Jodeci's last. And they come out and they're like, you know, it was kind of like, it was late. People are kind of tired. And they come out and they go, hey. All the bitches. He's like, if your man don't want to dance with you, fucking come upstage. God damn it. We ain't Boyz II Men. And it started a stampede. And they all like bum rushed to the front of the stage. So my question to you, because you said Boyz II Men was one of your favorite groups growing up, who was your favorite between Boyz II Men versus Jodeci? Who was your group? I'm gonna let you think about that for a minute. That's a good question right there.
It's definitely a good question. I would still say, I would say Boyz II Men though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I respect that.
Because obviously New Edition had Harmony as well.
Yeah.
But I think when Boyz II Men came out and I started to listen to that music and groups that, you know, maybe tried to, I won't say copy, but you know, take some of their influence from Boyz II Men is when, you know, the harmony of singing kind of started to click with me more, and their harmony was tight, and I just was drawn to that.
But Boys the Men,
not that Jodeci doesn't have harmony, they do.
Yeah, they did it. Jodeci did their thing.
I'll say Boys to Men.
Boys and Men was they were the top, you know, when it came to like singing, and all the other four man groups that came out after Boys and Men, they tried to copy their formula. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Boys and Men, I was really into Boys and Men when they were doing the ballads. Yes. When they were doing the slow cuts and shit. And I was with Boys and Men. The Coolie High Harmony album was good.
Don't forget the acapellas.
Two was good. All the acapella shit was good.
They didn't really need music. They would make their own instrument sounds with their voices.
Oh, and they did It's So Hard to Say Goodbye. That was shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
End of the Road was a shit for like 2 months. But what lost me on Boys and Men is when they changed and they started to do dance floor, higher tempo. And to me, I couldn't get with it. I was used to them doing like the ballads, the slow shit. And this was for the dance floor. And they got an album. Okay. I had a homeboy that I can say this shit now. He used to download and stream shit from Pirate Bay back in the day.
And there was my gosh.
There was an album from Boys and Men that was never released in the States. It was released in Europe. Okay. It was released in the States, and Boys and Men was talking shit. Like, if your girl talks shit, he was gonna smack her. And like,
no.
Bro, I'm not even bullshitting. I can't remember.
Everybody
the name
wants
of the album.
To be hard. I don't understand. Yeah, it.
Right.
I'm used to like Visions of a Sunset from Sean Stockman and the Tender shit.
Wow.
And the Smooth shit. Mm-hmm. They had one album that came out. I don't remember the name of it.
I know the name of it.
What was it?
It was either Boys to Men. It was Two.
No. This one.
It definitely wasn't Two.
It didn't get released in the States. It got released overseas.
Oh.
And I got my hands on it. And it's good shit. But some of it is like, It was a little bit edgier than the regular ballad type stuff you used to hear from Boys and Men.
See, at least when MC Hammer went raw, that was more his real actual background.
Hammer's He
wasn't faking. He wasn't faking the funk when he did that.
When he did Pumps in the Bomb and it like, hey, it's all good.
Right. Yeah.
But people weren't used to that because Hammer came out. He was smiling. He was dancing. He disappeared for a minute. Motherfuckers was talking shit about him.
Yeah.
And it was cool to diss MC Hammer. It was cool to diss Will Smith. It was cool to diss anybody that wasn't gangsta rap at the time. So when he disappeared for a little bit and then came back with the black shit on and the Scully and talking shit, it was like, wait a minute. This ain't the Hammer we used to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They gotta fuck people's heads up.
Right.
So,
he turned into a gangster.
When you talk to a lot of hip hop artists,
he always was a gangster.
Hip hop, like Hammer was in the street. Mm-hmm. Hammer was for real.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, if you get on YouTube right now, there's stories about, there's Redman did a song where he dissed Hammer's mama as a joke, and Hammer checked him. And there's stories about,
I heard he wrote up like 25 people deep. Like, it was Hammer and 24 of his closest friends when they approached Redman and confronted him about dissing his mom.
Outkast,
I heard that story.
Outkast, Hammer ran up on Outkast, and then also Search from Third Base.
Okay, MC
Search. It was a bounty on Search, because they did
that
a,
one
did
I
a
remember
song
hearing about for sure.
What you show me? No, Evolution's a great album. That's not it. No.
Is it Legacy?
No.
It's not Legacy.
Is it?
No.
I know it's not Coolie Heart High Harmony.
We're looking through albums right now. They're trying to find this motherfucker.
Under the Streetlight?
Nope, because these are the albums they start doing, like, the old 50 songs. And you know motherfuckers be standing over the trash can that's on fire singing shit. They was doing songs like that. But this is not it.
That's crazy, because New Edition did that, too.
They did it for the longest time.
I got that cassette. New Edition did that. Ventured into that too. It's called Under the Blue Moon.
Yeah, they was on the 50s.
So it's interesting to think that Boys to Men eventually did the same thing.
I'm a big fan of Boys to Men.
I'm surprised I don't know this already, because I thought I was the biggest Boys to Men
fan. When I got it downloaded at home. When I get home, I'll send it to you. But the album was never released in the United States. It was released in Europe. That's why you're not gonna find it. But I was downloading shit. Shout out to Pirate Bay, and I can't think of the name of it to save my life right now. But it was like they was talking shit, they was cussing and shit. Like Boyz II Men was cussing.
I'm gonna be honest, I never would have thought that you were a bigger Boyz II Men fan than me.
I'm not.
I'm shocked right now. Okay.
I'm a Jodeci guy. Okay. Like, when it comes, if I had to pick between Jodeci and Boyz II Men, I'm all about Jodeci. I'm a big, I like Boyz II Men. Yeah. I like my, one of my favorite albums is the Christmas Interpretations album. This is one of my favorite albums. It's all Christmas songs. But Jodeci, okay, the show, like the first album, now, who that? That's you?
It's not me. The hotel, something or other.
Oh, wow. That's the first. So, I think he was... You know what? I'm going to tell you. I also was a big Jodeci fan. I like Boyz II Men.
Yes, ma'am, we will.
Boyz II Men were... They made love songs.
Okay, hold on one second.
Jodeci made sex songs.
So, the neighbors next door... are complaining that we're making too much noise. So we can continue with our podcast.
Sure.
We just got to tone it down a little bit.
It is like 2 o'clock in the morning.
It is 2 o'clock in the morning.
We're just getting excited talking about music.
So we got about 15 minutes left on this podcast. It's this guy right there. Yeah, it's that guy. So we're going.
I just want to say this. Mm-hmm. I had an amazing time at this hotel mm-hmm. and casino. Everyone here is at least 60 and over. I don't know if this is like a retirement community or something.
Well, there's one nearby for sure.
But so I imagine that the person that was complaining is probably like 75.
Well, it's somebody next door. I didn't see him, but when I checked in earlier, mm-hmm. you can hear the TV on and shit. So there's definitely somebody over there.
Wouldn't it be a trip if there's somebody in our band?
I know, right?
Because we got to leave hecka early tomorrow, and it's a long drive.
What time y'all leaving in the morning?
Some of us are leaving around 8, and some of us leaving around 10.
Yeah, we still got to pack all the equipment up, and that's not going to be fun.
Well, come holler at me before drive, you leave in the morning, because I'm going to be asleep. I'm probably getting this motherfucker knocked out to about 9:30.
How long did it take us to get here, Jay? Do you remember?
Well, it was supposed to take 21 hours.
That's what I heard.
That's what we all heard. Mm-hmm. You know what? We did have a couple of ladies who were associated with the band who decided to travel with us. And not to... I don't want to, like, you know, talk any smack, but we had to make several unscheduled stops to be able to accommodate these ladies with their issues, with their full bladders, if you will.
Sure.
So we were only scheduled to make 3 stops on the way here. That would have put us at 21 hours. Mm-hmm. We ended up making about 7 or 8. We ended up making like 5 additional stops. Wow. Because some of our passengers really had to like go to the bathroom and stuff like that. So what was supposed to be a 21-hour drive ended up being like, I would say like 25, 26,
what
27
I heard
hours.
28 is what I heard.
So we really picked up like an extra 7 or 8 hours on that trip. And it was pretty brutal. I ain't gonna lie.
But yeah, we smashed our way through though. And it's been worth it.
I agree.
I'm glad you guys came down here. My brother, you know, it's very rare that, you know, we get a chance to hang out. Me and John see each other about
every three to five years.
You know, a funeral, a wedding. I think the last time he came was my son's or my daughter's baptism.
Right.
And I was in 2. You know, my daughter's about to be 5 this year. So when she was born, you know, John came down. And so when he called me, actually, no. I got a tattoo this week. So I'm calling John to tell me about the tattoo.
That did look fresh, yeah.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate that. I'm going to get my daughters over this one, too. But I called John.
Her name is
Lauren, talk about
by the
that.
Way, so it's going to be painful.
It's going to go up this way like this. But I called John to tell him about the tattoo, and he's like, oh, by the way, I'm in Arizona. And I'm like, oh, shit. And when he said Arizona, I immediately thought, Phoenix, Tucson, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, I'm in Pine Top. I'm like, where the fuck is Pine Top? So I get online, I look, and I'm like, okay, it's 5.5 hours away. I haven't seen my brother in about 4 years.
At least.
We're trying to link up on Thanksgiving, but it's still like in the air. But like, fuck it, if I can go see him, I'm going to go see him. So the fact that you was here and you close, I was definitely going to take the time to get on the road, even if it's only for one night. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that, bro, because you really made this evening extra special for me.
And I got a chance to meet the band, and I shot some video, and I don't know everybody in the band, but everybody I met was cool. The women I was sitting with at the table, we did shots of tequila, and we just had a really, just a good time.
That was Lady V and her crew.
What was the lady in the red dress?
In the red dress, that was Lady V's sister or her cousin.
Okay. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome.
They're playing tonight, and I'm recording a little bit, and I'm kind of watching it. And so I'm watching the show, and if I would have known it was coming, I probably would have recorded it, but I didn't see it.
He's supposed to be recording. I asked him to record the show. That's the only thing I asked him to do while he was here. No,
because let me defend myself. Because first of all, you told me 10 minutes before the show started to record the show. First of all. And so when I started to record the show, where I was sitting, once the show started, people started to dance. And all I see is old people. Like, I couldn't see the band because the people was on the dance floor. And there was there was nowhere I could sit the camera to record it. So I was like, I was doing different angles. I get like a minute and a half of each set. But I had a great point, but I forgot what I was saying. But I was glad to watch you play. There was a portion where you were doing a drum solo.
Right, that's what you
were saying. And I missed it because I'm watching the show. I'm enjoying the show. And then
so he did basically halfway, he didn't record my epic drum solo. It was epic too.
EPIC.
And he was all caught up in the moment. And so, you know, it's, you only gonna hear about it. You ain't gonna see it nowhere because he didn't hit the record button.
But you know what? Some things ain't supposed to be recorded. I was just enjoying that moment. So
I appreciate that.
But your girl in the red dress was like, she was yelling at me. This is the money shot. You need to be recording this. But it was already like, I'm already like 45 seconds into it. And I was like, by the time I grab a camera and start, it'll be too late. So I sat there and I enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's all I could have asked for.
My apologies for not being able to record it. So listen, we're going to wrap this up. I don't want to offend our neighbors.
Yeah, somebody done already called the authorities on us.
I don't want a SWAT team to come up in this motherfucker. So, in closing, I want you guys to just, what's next? What's next for the group? What's next for you guys? Do me a favor. Kind of keep it brief.
Sure.
But we'll wrap this up after that. So, Michael, you're in this group. Doing great things. The group sounds great. What is next for Michael Lee Green? What does Michael Lee Green want to do moving forward?
Just get a good balance, you know, family. This band's very important to me. And the school year's coming up for me. I'm a music teacher. And so school starts soon and just, you know, navigating that. But it's going to be good. You know, I'm hoping that our performance opportunities continue to grow, you know, every weekend or so, or every other weekend. We actually have performance, we got a couple, you could say, local performances coming up in the near future in the Tacoma area.
Oh, don't forget about Jazz Bones on the 2nd.
Oh, yes, I was getting to that for sure. Our very next performance is at a club called Jazz Bones in Tacoma, Washington.
That's the
Friday night. September 2nd coming up. So
the group is doing that?
Yes, okay. Less than a week away. We'll get some of our members back that were not able to make this trip. They'll be there in Tacoma. And we also have another, again, local Tacoma, Seattle area performance at the end of September. I believe it's September 30th and October 1st at Giuseppe's. Giuseppe's, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
So, couple exciting local things, local for us anyway, in Washington State.
I know Giuseppe sounds like Italian or something, but it's actually owned by a black couple.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know. So, shout out to Giuseppe's.
So, my same question to you, Drummaster Jay. So, moving forward, what's on the horizon? What are you looking to do next moving forward?
To be honest, keeping with the theme of things, I actually am interested in learning how to do the same thing that you're doing. Again, this is my older brother, so everything he does, I just automatically want to do. I really want to learn how to do this podcasting stuff, man, because it's really interesting. And the way that you do it, it just really inspires me. But for the band, you know, I'm just grateful to be able to share my gift with the world.
And he is gifted, y'all.
And I'm just very grateful to be able to play with this group of talented musicians. They really inspire me and they push me to, you know, even improve at my skill level. There's always something I'm learning because, again, I'm one of the youngest members in the band. So all these old school fellas have a bounty of knowledge that I'm just trying to soak up. So, you know, just learning from these great men that I, you know, play with in this band. I'm just trying to learn as much as I can from these guys and, you know what I'm saying, and also just play as much as possible. Play drums and, you know, play shows as much as possible.
Okay. That's what's up, man. So listen, I'm going to wrap this podcast up.
Very quietly.
I want to say...
quietly.
Thank you to both of you guys. It's late. You guys been playing all week. I know you guys are tired. You got a long ride.
Oh, yeah. This is our... We played 5 nights in a row. We got here Monday. We were able to sleep. We played a show Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's Saturday.
Right,
I like to call it a paid practice because Tuesday wasn't really many people there. Wednesday, we had a few more people show up. Thursday, it was pretty thick. Friday was amazing. And then this evening was epic. It was just out of this world.
It was,
so
it was a good crowd out there. You guys,
yeah,
did a
man.
Good job. I enjoyed the show.
Yeah, we had birthday parties coming through. We had a wedding party come through,
you know,
tonight.
I saw the couple
awesome.
That got married. But I want to thank you guys for taking the time to come and just spend a little time with me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. So thank you. Good luck moving forward.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you,
Cedric. You know, I'm rooting for you guys. I watched the show.
I appreciate it.
I was blown away. You guys are really, really talented. You guys are really awesome. I enjoyed the show. And if you come back to this part of the country, let me know. And I'll be here. I'll be there. I drove 5.5 hours to be here. When I heard John was in town.
Drummaster Jay.
When I heard Drummaster Jay was in town. You know, I talked to Nada. She's like, go, 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 go. So, you know, Nada, gave me the green light and I came on up here. As far as podcast goes, I'll show you.
Yeah, man.
I'll walk you through it. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. It's a cool thing. And like I was telling Michael earlier, you know, I do stand-up comedy, right? I do stand-up comedy, but because the clubs were shutting down and everything was shutting down because of COVID, you know, I was still writing. And I just took my stories from the stage to the podcast. And, you know, there's no crowd, but, you know, when you listen to my podcast, I wanted to put a smile on your face. And, you know, just take your mind away from all the bullshit that's going on in the world right now just for this 10, 20, 30, 45 minutes. Just hang out with me for a little bit and just enjoy the session. So that being said, I'm going to wrap this up. Drummaster Jay. Michael Lee Green, I want to thank you guys for your time. Thank you guys for coming.
You're very welcome.
And
we've enjoyed it.
I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you very much.
So that being said, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you, whole world, for listening. And we'll see you next time. God bless.
And good night.
And good night.